Luann Blake, who is in charge of voting initiatives in the Federation, and she's going to talk to us about voting, what some states have done, and if we have time, we'll do a little bit of discussion around what's happened in Alaska. So take it away, Luann.
Thank you, Bonnie. I appreciate it. It's great to be with my Federation family in Alaska, even if it is virtually. I appreciate the invitation, and it's an honor to speak with you all today. As Bonnie mentioned, my name is Luann Blake. I have been working for the National Federation of Blind for 15 years now, and about 13 of that, I've been responsible for the Help America Vote Act grant that we have from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And so that includes all of our voting advocacy work that is not legal. So we provide consultation services to voting system developers to help them make their systems more accessible. We work with the voting advocates and the protection and advocacy system that exists in each state to help them with voting issues related to voters who are blind or low vision in their state. We also work with election officials to help them make their elections process more accessible. So I have my fingers in a lot of things related to voting throughout the United States. And this year has been particularly busy because of a thing called COVID-19, which I know I don't have to tell you all about, but the pandemic has had a significant impact on how voting has been and how elections have been conducted, as you know, so has had a significant impact on all parts of our daily lives. Prior to 2020, an accessible way to vote by mail was available only in about 5 or 6 states. While voting by mail was increasing in popularity, most states still do not have an accessible way to do that. Now you all are lucky in that you live in a state that does provide an accessible way to vote by mail. Actually, as of now, I think we're up to about 27 states in all that provide an accessible way to vote by mail. And that's really important. Of course, you know, that's not enough. You know, we need to have 50 states. But, you know, what's really good for you all there in Alaska is that, you know, if you don't want to risk going to the polling place and possibly exposing yourself to the COVID-19 virus, you have an option. And that you will, you can vote absentee and you can mark your ballot privately and independently. So that's a really important thing. And kudos to the Alaska Division of Elections for providing that option. And, you know, the NFB didn't even have to sue them, to get that. So that's even better. What is available in Alaska is the Dominion electronic ballot delivery system. And what that means is, a voter who wants to use that system after they've requested the absentee ballot, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit, the Division of Elections will send an email to the voter, and that email will have a link and probably some login information. It kind of varies state by state. So you click on that link, and it will take you to the online ballot marking tool, which is accessible. I've looked at the Dominion system a few weeks ago, I guess, and we've looked at it before, and it is accessible. And so you can use your computer and whatever access technology you have, be it a screen reader, refreshable braille display, screen magnification, to move through the ballot and mark your ballot. Now, this is kind of the typical way that most of these systems work. Most of them are online ballot marking systems. And other systems that are similar to Dominion include the Voting Works system and the Democracy Live! System. The Maryland State Board of Elections also has an online ballot marking tool that they developed themselves and that I've been using since 2015 for every election to mark my ballot. So these systems are very easy to use. All you do is, you know, use just your standard Windows keys to move through the ballot and mark the ballot. One caveat with these systems and with the state of the art as it currently exists in electronic ballot delivery is that the vast majority of states require that you print out your ballot once you've marked it. So if you don't have a printer at home, that doesn't mean you can't use this system. You can download the ballot onto flash drive, a thumb drive, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, take that to a computer that does have a printer attached to it and print it out and then mail it in. I believe Bonnie recently sent an email out to the affiliate members that had a link to a demo ballot of the Dominion system. And I would encourage all of you to give it a try if you haven't already. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how easy it is to use. I myself am a novice JAWS user, and I have been able to use these systems without any difficulty. So even if you're a novice JAWS user, don't be intimidated. Go ahead and give it a try. And I really encourage you to do that because it's not too late to use this system to mark your ballot for the November 3rd election that's coming up in less than 2 weeks.
Can I add one thing, Luann?
Sure.
I don't know if this is the case for ballot delivery, but I do know that this is the last day to request an absentee ballot, a print ballot.
Yeah, I think for electronic ballot delivery, I was just looking at the website just earlier this afternoon, and if you use their online absentee ballot request tool, you can actually submit a request for an absentee ballot up to, believe it or not, 5 p.m. on the day before the election, and they will get that ballot to you, a link to the ballot to you within 24 hours, it says on the website. So
that would only be for the ballot delivery where they send you the email?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
You'd have to use the electronic ballot delivery system.
Okay.
So that's, you know, a really cool thing, that you have that available to you. So, you know, if you were planning on going to the polls and something comes up and you can't go to the polls, or you don't want to go to the poll and risk being exposed, you can use this system, and it's available to you. And, you know, the fact that it's available to you doesn't mean that we can sit back and say, okay, we have an accessible way to vote absentee. That's a good thing. We don't have to do anything more. End of story. Well, no, that's not true, actually, because we need to get people to use these systems. You know, the NFB, the National Federation of the Blind, has spent a lot of effort, not so much in Alaska, but in other states, a lot of effort and money to get these systems made available. And we want people to use them. And, you know, the thing is that these systems really, an accessible way to vote absentee is required by the Americans with Disabilities Act. So, you know, the states aren't doing us a favor by providing us these systems. They're providing these systems because they're required to by federal law. And if they don't, they're in violation of federal law. But again, as I said, you know, once we have these systems in place, our job is not over, because we need to make sure that blind and low vision voters and other voters with print disabilities, because they do work with other types of access technology used by people who, for instance, don't have use of their hands. So we need to make sure that these people know that these systems are available, and that these systems are being used. So I would encourage you, being members of the NFB of Alaska, to let your fellow blind members know about this system and that it's easy to use and that it's available. Unfortunately, election officials don't usually do a very good job of making people aware or making our community aware that the system is available. So the bulk of the responsibility for getting the word out is on us. So I did mention that Alaska has an online absentee ballot form. Kudos again to the state of Alaska for that. There's a number of states, you know, they'll have a PDF of their absentee ballot request form, and that doesn't help us out a whole lot. You may be able to read it with your screen reader, but trying to fill it in, no. So I did actually fill in the form this afternoon as I went as far as I could go in it. I don't have an Alaska ID, so I wasn't able to go beyond that. But it is pretty accessible. There are some things that were a little funky about it, but so that's something that you might want to make the Alaska Divisions of Election aware of, that there are some improvements that could be made, and make the form better and easier to use.
Can I ask you another question about that?
Sure.
So what kind of form was it? Because in August it was a pretty horrible form. Is it a PDF form or is it HTML?
No, it's an HTML form.
So. And they did take my advice.
Yes, they did. How about that, Bonnie?
All right.
Yeah, see? Talking to them, you got some results. So congratulations on that. So it's a good thing.
The only other thing I wanted to mention real quick, because I know our time is limited, is as far as I can tell right now, when you print out once you've voted and your ballot is downloaded to your computer, mm-hmm. then you print it out, but is there an envelope with it? I think from what I understand, the envelope is one that you have to fold a particular way, tape it together, and then apparently, I assume it's already addressed and stamped. And so my question is, to me, that's not very accessible. It's one thing to print it, but it's another thing to have to put a letter together following certain lines. And I don't know if those lines are tactile or not.
Right. Yeah. So there's a couple of ways that can be dealt with. If the state mails envelopes to voters who get a paper absentee ballot, I would ask them to send you those envelopes because they're already, you don't have to do any folding or taping or whatever. They should already be addressed.
Totally.
If Alaska provides postage, they'll have postage. So ask for that. Another thing, if you're able to access the address that they are to be mailed to, there's always the Microsoft Word envelope printing feature that you could print out an envelope. But I think probably the easiest way to do it is just ask them to send you the envelopes that a paper absentee ballot is required.
And then how would you figure out where you're supposed to sign? Just ask them, where do I sign? And then...
Well, So if you sign the envelope, what you can do is ask them to punch a hole at either end of the signature line, and then you'll know where you sign. And that's something easily done, and they should be able to do that for you.
If there's anyone here...
That's how that can be made.
I just want to say one last thing. If there's anyone here who has not voted yet and would like to try this method, I would be happy to... assist you in any way that you might need assistance. I'd like to see someone do it and actually call them and get what they need in terms of an envelope, in terms of punching. I have written a letter to the elections people and mentioned that to them. I also spoke with, her name is Julie Hussman. She is the regional person for voting here. Aubrey and I went and voted the other day using the machine, and there were some serious problems. The personnel weren't trained well. They didn't know what they were doing, and they were wonderful people, I have to tell you. They were just patient and kind, and the one lady said, this is so unexceptional. She was very apologetic. But and so when Julie got there, it didn't take her long to fix the machine. We were able to vote, but we were there about 2 hours, and I am not very fond of that keypad at all. I know Brian had commented that he wasn't. It seems that maybe it's easier for young people, and because Aubrey said Aubrey was able to use it faster than I was, and the speech I thought was terrible. So those are my comments about that particular machine.
Yeah, so that kind of leads me to something else that I wanted to talk about was our blind voter survey. So once you have voted this year, and it doesn't matter whether you vote absentee or you vote at an early voting center at the polling place on election day, please do complete our blind voter survey. And you can access the survey by going to nfb.org/vote. Now, this year we have two surveys because so many people are voting absentee. We have one survey for folks who vote absentee and one survey for folks who vote early or at a polling place on election day. So if you're going using a machine, use the early voting polling place survey, or if you go to the polling place and end up voting with assistance at the polling place, use that survey, and we hope to be able to collect a lot of really good data this year. Also, if you encounter barriers that prevent you from voting privately and independently, I would really encourage you to fill out a complaint with the U.S. Department of Justice, and you can access a complaint form at ada.gov. Those complaints go to the disability rights section, and states tend to pay a little more attention when Department of Justice comes knocking on their door with a complaint. So I would urge you to do that as well. I want to also talk about, before I forget, our blind voter hotline. So on election day, November 3rd, we're going to have a hotline. So if you encounter a problem on election day, do call our hotline. We'll have people manning that hotline all day. And the number for that is 877-632-1940 or 877, easy way to remember it, 877-NFB-1940. So that's mostly what I wanted to talk about. I'd be happy to take any questions if there's questions.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a few comments here about the whole voting. This is Brian. There's a lot of... I think there's some misconceptions about the way the voting works here, and it's kind of odd in several respects. Number one, I would encourage folks as much as possible to go vote, whether you do early voting or whether you vote, at the poll on election day, and use the voting machines. I agree they're not the greatest, but they do work, and, the thing that I think that was special us out here in the rural areas, there's been some misinformation, and that is that they have a thing here in the state called absentee in-person voting. So there are like hundreds of polling places around the state you can go and vote, but only the ones that are connected directly to the division of elections, such as the major polling places, say the division office in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, and a few other places such as at the Anchorage Airport, have direct connections to division of elections. So if you vote in these absentee in-person places in the rural areas, your vote is like an absentee vote and doesn't get counted until they don't start counting these until 7 days after the election. I'd rather vote on election day. If I have to use the absentee ballot or if I don't have any other choice, that's fine. And the other thing is these division of elections places, like Bonnie said, will have the voting machines. And unfortunately, what we found out is they don't always know how to use them. That was my experience in the August primary here. We had to go through several hoops so that they had to contact division of elections to get it working. That seems to be a typical thing. I wish the training would be better here. And the other thing, as far as I feel about these ballots, the absentee ballots and downloading and stuff. What I don't like about it is we lose our ability to be have a secret ballot. I mean, because one way or the other, you're going to have to mail it. You're likely going to, the way the thing stands right now, you got to get some help in order to fill the thing out, just sign it. Although another issue here is, by the way, the signature requirement or the requirement to have a person witness your signature has been suspended because of a court case for the general election, for this election only. So that's a thing that might help some folks. But anyway, those are my comments.
Yeah. Well, poll worker training is a universal problem throughout the country. I don't know. I don't think there is a state that doesn't have, where blind voters encounter poll workers who don't know how to set up or operate the machine. How that is improved if you have the answer to that, that's the $5 million question or whatever. Letting your local election officials know that you encountered a poll worker who did not know how to set up and operate the machine, I think is a really important step to take. Because if no one complains to them, they don't know. I find even election officials here in Maryland, we use the machine called the Express Vote. And with the Express Vote, once you print out your ballot, you can actually reinsert that ballot back into the machine and it will read the ballot back to you so you can verify that the ballot printed correctly. But my experience has been there are many election officials here in Maryland that do not know you can do that. So, it's kind of shocking. Working with your local election officials is really important. Letting them know what your experience is at the polling place is very important. I would encourage you to contact them and let them know what your experience is, because otherwise they're not going to know. And, if there's some way that the affiliate, I don't know who is responsible for the training of poll workers in the state of Alaska, if it's the Division of Elections or if it's the local elections offices, but, if you could work with the Division of Elections, if the affiliate could work with the Division of Elections and somehow, work with them to improve poll worker training, I think that, you might find that to be beneficial.
I think another thing that would be helpful, and I just was thinking about it, is if the division itself or somebody could educate people to the fact that these machines exist. I mean, for example, there's a lady I know in this community who's blind, who I suspect likely will not use the machine because somebody else can vote for her. I mean, and I guess that's, I didn't say that right. Somebody else will help her vote. Okay.
Right.
But anyway, and that's, I guess that's okay if that's what they want to do. But, the more people we can get to use it, the more that'll work better. But
I
know the people here, this is a small community, and I was in another small community similar. I know the people who work at the elections, and they're good people who are trying to do things right, but I think they aren't getting adequate training seems to be the problem.
It does seem to be the problem.
I think their heart is always in the right place, but as you say, they just are not getting adequate training. So, anything that you all can do to work with election officials to see that is improved and to let the blind voters in Alaska know about these machines, they can use them. And, and really anybody can use the accessible voting machines.
That's the thing that I think if we could get that message across, and they seem to know that. They said, we know. I think they said they had another one. This is what was interesting. They said, she said, we have another one mixed in with the other machines that anyone can use. And I wanted to say, why didn't you just put this one in the middle of the machines? Because it was kind of off to the side. Mm-hmm. I don't think other people could really see it. I told them that they needed to darken the screen or, you know, turn off the screen. And I don't know if they knew where to do that. But I know when I started to vote, the two women that were there said, okay, we close these flaps so nobody can really look in, and the flaps kind of go around the sides of the machine. Now, I don't know if someone got directly behind me, if they would still have been able to see my vote. But I think all that kind of training is something that if we could ask, have a delegation, and we could speak to the whole division of elections, you know, long before voting even starts, and say, these are the kinds of things that would be helpful. Maybe we could get somewhere.
Yeah, I think that would be great. You know, I mean, if you, you know, set up a meeting with Division of Elections, I'd be happy to support you in a meeting like that if you would like. You know, I'd be happy to participate. Because, you know, I think working with them and just raising their awareness, because, you know, they just don't think about these issues a lot of times. It's just not on their radar. They have a lot of other things to be, you know, worried about and concerned about and thinking about. So it's kind of up to us to make sure that they are thinking about accessible voting and what blind voters need to be able to vote privately and independently.
Well, our time is pretty much, it's overgone, but I wanted to take one short question before we say goodbye to Luann. If anyone has it, if you feel there's something we didn't cover and you have a question about, we'll take one question.
If you want to ask a question, raise your hand and then you can be unmuted.
Alt-Y on the computer, *9 on the phone, and look for raise more, and then I think raise hand.
No, we need to clarify this with voting and everything else coming up. On your iPhone or iPad, the new way that it is done, it has changed, is you double tap on the participants button, then double tap on your name, and then you can double tap on the raise your hand button. It's a three-step process.
Yeah. Great, they made it harder.
Yeah. Yes, they
did. Of course.
Do.
All right, so that's just for devices. It's not for a computer or regular phone call. All right, Luann, thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed talking with you all. And like I say, you know, if there's anything I can do to support you all to, you know, make voting more accessible in Alaska, I'd be happy to do that.